This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
This is primetime on Football Friday. 1080 The Fan.
We're going to ring that championship bell.
60 minutes. Let's open up the whole can of kick ass and kill them all. Let the paramedics sort them out. Ready?
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app. Download the app, make the fan your favorite station, and enable push notifications for the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and your favorite show.
On 1080, The Fan.
All right, welcome back, Sports Bros. Friday, Football Friday. Boom.
Sada.
We're not just rocking you, he's dropping a boom on you.
Man, I love it. We got Joey Harrington coming in here in 30 minutes. We're going to talk Oregon, Washington, the last half hour of this hour. And then we've got the club coming up. We got high school football. We'll set your DVR. I mean, this is awesome.
A lot to deal with.
Colin Wilson was on earlier, our gambling guy from the Action Network. He was great. If you miss any of our interviews, you can go to 1080thefan.com, podcast our show on there. Our hours are up there.
We want to take a moment to wish a loyal P1 Sammy, who is the GM out of McGrath's in Vancouver. Apparently she has tore her Achilles at work.
Oh no!
And is now home resting, listening to this stupid program. So, Sammy, we love you, and I still can't believe that you're as old as you are and you don't know how to use crutches.
Oh, what?
I don't want to give away her age, but she is not. She's not in her teens. She's in our general range.
Sure, that's quite flattering.
Well, she's in our range.
I also don't know how to use crutches.
Well, what?
What?
I've never had to use them.
Well, who doesn't? Like, it's not even a thing you have to know how to do. You just use them.
Yeah. Apparently,
you don't have to learn.
I mean, maybe it's easy. I've never even tried because I've never had to
use them. Well, yeah, but if you had them, you wouldn't have to learn how to use them. You just put them under your arms and go. Right? Am I wrong here?
Now, I have used crutches a lot. So maybe I just don't ever remember. The first time I broke my foot in high school, I don't remember being like, what?
You just put them under
your... What the hell do I do with these
right.
things?
Right. It's like, yeah.
Her husband says she's learning to swing her leg. Sammy, we love you. We feel bad for you, but at the same time,
fascinating.
It's a little strange that you don't know how to use crutches.
Yeah, it's not hard. Give it another whirl.
So I guess
I got faith in you.
I guess she's just trying to walk as opposed to swing. You don't really walk. You kind of You hop and swing yourself forward.
Huh. Okay.
Now we're getting people who are saying that crutches are hard.
No, they're not.
What?
Blazers.
Have you used them wrong?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, so I have no idea either way. I just am saying I guess I don't know technically how to, but if I use them, I would hope I would know, but I don't know.
Man, I'm mind blown.
Yeah.
This is as mind blowing as your brother calling in and saying a guess and an estimate are the same thing.
He doubled down yesterday, by the way.
I told him
that we weren't going to be able to do the hit because of the phone issues. He goes, oh, they're just ducking me because they know I'm right about the 3 trillion trees.
God. Hmm. Yeah,
I don't know what to tell you.
I love life. This is why I love life. Yeah. You just keep learning new things. It's amazing.
I did not know that not knowing how to crutch was a thing. In fact, when I first read the text, I was like, is autocorrect chiming in? He said she's learning how to crutch. And I'm like, what do you mean you're learning how to
my
crutch?
My mom texted in. She is a nurse and said Rop is wrong about crutches.
What Rop is wrong? Well, what about Souk?
Well, Souk's used crutches many times, so he knows what he's talking about.
Wait a minute. Are we not saying the same thing?
We're on the exact
what the
same
hell
side.
Is happening
she's
right now?
She's saying that both of you are wrong, yes.
Okay.
And crutches are more difficult than you're laying on.
Can I say that I have also used crutches?
Yeah.
Souk has used crutches. We are both saying it's not hard.
No.
Your mom is wrong.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, Sammy, if you are having problems with the crutches, get yourself one of those little scooters that you just put your knee up on and then you
those are great.
You scoot around. You know, they have other inventions. Get yourself a Rascal. You know what? I'll come by McGrath's and we'll hook you up with a nice Rascal. I saw one of those commercials where you can get one at little or no cost for one of the old people.
Well, I tell you what, this is a good business idea. I didn't know these people. Like, we should do a how to use crutches seminar.
How to seminar sort of thing. Take some
easiest
pads,
money ever.
Wrap them around the tip of the crutches, like under the armpit, so you know you can get a little chafing underneath there.
Okay,
and then
put,
crutch away.
Here's what you do: put these under your arm and walk,
or swinge, S-W-I-N-J.
Yeah, it's. I think it's like a baby learning how to walk. It's like you just figure it out.
I did not know that that was a thing, but apparently it is. So
all right.
Get better.
We'll set your college football DVR in our next segment. Joe Harrington, 5:30, then the club. Right now, the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh. Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frostbrewed Coors Light.
That was for you, Mike. And this is for your mom.
Number five.
Now, I get it. If you lack upper body strength, like if you're an old person or, you know, I can see where that could be hard to use crutches if you have like a physical limitation, but you would still know how to use them. You just wouldn't have the strength to do it.
This person texts, are these the people who couldn't walk until kindergarten? I think they are. NBA rookie sensation Zion Williamson has been really good in the preseason, but he is already hurt.
Yeah.
I wonder if he'll need to use crutches. Maybe he'll need our seminar.
I saw that Greg Oden was trending today. Poor Greg Oden was just sitting there minding his own business. Zion gets hurt, and now everyone's got to bring up Greg Oden again.
Well, he's expected to miss the first few weeks of the regular season. He has a right knee injury. Blazers lost in Denver last night. They finished the preseason 2-3.
Oh, hell.
The regular season begins Wednesday night on ESPN back in Denver. Do you remember that 7-foot beanpole from UCLA, Moses Brown?
Yes, I do.
Blazers liked him enough to convert him to a two-way contract. They did that today, so that means he'll be assigned to a G League team because the Blazers don't have a G League team.
Number four.
He'll be assigned to one, but he is eligible to spend up to 45 days with the big club this season.
Yeah, I saw that Lillard basically just was like, how can you be that big and not be good? So he's like, let's give him a shot.
Angels hired Joe Maddon as their new manager. The Phillies need a skipper. They fired Gabe Kapler. They're down to three guys. They will hire either Buck Showalter, Joe Girardi, or Dusty Baker.
Oh, Dusty Baker. What's Dusty Baker been up to? I know the other two are doing
fishing.
Doing TV. I haven't heard anything about old Dusty.
So the Royals, the Mets, the Pirates, the Giants, the Cubs, and the Padres all need a manager as well.
And the only thing I know about any of these searches is the Mets will hire someone completely underwhelming. That I can guarantee.
Yeah, that's true. But I was thinking about this the other day. When you watch baseball, like Dave Martinez is in the World Series.
Yeah.
When they hired Dave Martinez, I'm sure national fans were like, what the hell? What the hell? Jesus. And then that Mike Shield guy for St. Louis would be like, what? Well, they,
number three.
I mean, you never know. You just never know. Number four, Ohio State is in action tonight. They visit Northwestern. Now, this is fun because it's the same two teams from the Big Ten title game a year ago.
Yeah, except one of them is really good. That would be Ohio State. And Northwestern is not so much. In fact, I think they're 1-5.
They are 1-4.
1-4.
And they have lost games to Stanford and Nebraska, which isn't exactly inspiring.
No.
However, I will point out that Northwestern was 1-3 last year, and they ended up in the Big Ten title game.
That's not going to happen this year. And Ohio State is, are they favored by 4 touchdowns in this? Like it's 27.5?
Sure. Don't know, but yeah, I think
and
so.
And if you haven't seen Ohio State play, do it. Because Ohio State, I think, is the best team in the country. And Chase Young, defensive end, best defensive player in the country. I don't know what it is, their defensive line, but I swear every year they crank those guys out and they're one after another.
Yankees lead the Astros 4-1 in game 5 of the ALCS. Of course, the Astros win this game and they are on to the World Series against the Nationals. But Aaron Hicks hit a 3-run home run off of Justin Verlander in a 4-run first inning. So they're in the top of the third, Yankees up 4-1. CeCe Sabathia has been taken off of the playoff roster. He's been replaced by Ben Heller.
He dislocated his shoulder last night and then stayed on the mound and tried to throw one more pitch. And I actually thought it was pretty cool that the folks in New York gave him a standing O as he walked off. That's obviously, he announced his retirement, and that's not how you want to see him end a great career.
Yeah, so he is done, because he would not, even if they come back and they make the World Series, he would not be able to be on the roster. So CeCe Sabathia's career is over. Yankees hitting .204 in the series, but they're winning tonight.
Yeah. By the way, Mariner fan is in and saying someone can have Scott Servais if they want him.
Let's do it.
No, thanks.
I'm
going to go ahead and say that every single team that has an open job would not hire Scott Servais.
Although, you know what? I could see the Mets doing something like that.
Royals would hire him.
Yeah.
Like, oh, he's great.
Sign me up.
By the way, that Blazers-Nuggets game, I misspoke. That is not in Denver. That is Wednesday night in Portland. They open the season. Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes may only be out 3 weeks or so. He suffered a kneecap dislocation in Denver last night. No major damage, though. So Matt Moore, who came in relief, will probably go to the bench because the Chiefs say Chad Henne, who is their normal backup, is close to a return.
And now we can all yell and scream about trading for Eli Manning or Marcus Mariota. The Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick thing can start, and we can all, you know, freak out about it. He's going to be out a month. Their schedule is very manageable. They got two tough ones, but if Oakland loses this week to Green Bay, which they probably should, that'll be a two-game lead in the division. They can have three games off, and then they'll have a bye week before they play the Raiders. The Chiefs are going to be fine. They're going to weather this. He'll be back in a month.
Broncos coach Vic Fangio says he's not considering benching Joe Flacco. Running back Saquon Barkley is back for the Giants this week against the Cardinals. The Saints have ruled out star running back Alvin Kamara. He will not play. Cowboys are still waiting to see if Randall Cobb and Amari Cooper, their receivers, can play against what is the worst secondary in the NFL in Philadelphia, but neither practiced today. Devontae Adams is out for the Packers against the Raiders. Jalen Ramsey and Todd Gurley are expected to play for the Rams. And then the Bengals suspended Cordy Glenn, their offensive tackle, one game over an internal discrepancy over a concussion.
Yeah, so basically he got into some sort of yelling and screaming match, maybe push someone, if you will.
The Hot 5 at 5 is refreshed by Coors Light. Enter to win an Oregon-branded Yeti cooler. Anywhere Coors Light is sold, go Coors Light. Mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Let's set your college football DVR. Coming up next, 5:14 on The Fan.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app.
On 1080 The Fan.
Joey Harrington will be here in 13 minutes. We'll talk Oregon, Washington. But Maestro, let's have a little music as we'll set your college football DVR here. Really, the light shines on the Pac-12 this weekend. That's really where a lot of the national, even the national pundits are saying they're going to be watching. As you have Oregon, Washington, and Arizona State, Utah. Oregon, Washington is 12:30 on ABC. And Arizona State, Utah is a Pac-12 network game at 3.
Yeah, so finally the Pac-12 network gets a game that people want to see. And now people are pissed that it's on the Pac-12 network. A lot of people can't get it.
Yeah, well... Yeah, I would be pissed. I am pissed it's on there.
Yeah, you can't watch
it. I was
it.
Thinking about that, like, well, wait a minute. But I was also not one that ever bitched about them not getting good games.
They have terrible games. I mean, most of the time. The only time I ever watched the Pac-12
network, that,
like, Oregon State will be on there and
but see,
watch it.
How many more people are like me where it's like, it's good that the bad games are on there because I don't want to watch those and I don't have the network so I don't care, right? Whereas this game being on there is actually... Throws a wrench into it for me because I don't have the damn network.
Steal a password, or just ask someone.
Well, that is what I've been doing.
There you go.
Because sometimes the Ducks and Beavers play on there, and that kind of is frustrating.
Yeah, but it's usually not. But, you want to watch the game, but they're not the high profile ones.
Tonight, Ohio State Northwestern on the Big Ten Network.
A whopping 4-touchdown spread there for Ohio State. By the way, we had Colin on from the Action Network, and he likes Northwestern in this. He thinks Ohio State is going to play very conservatively.
Well, he said Northwestern in the second half.
Yes. Yeah.
Because Northwestern has a good coach. They'll make some adjustments at half, and Ohio State will just be vanilla for Wisconsin in the second half.
So wait on the second half and then take some Northwestern action there.
That game was supposed to be on FS1, but they moved it to the Big Ten Network. ESPN has Pittsburgh, Syracuse. He liked Pitt a lot. Sorry, Mike. What happened to Syracuse?
Syracuse's offensive line is about as bad as of an offensive line I've ever seen. Huh. It is so bad that Tommy DeVito just gets sacked on what feels like every single play. So can't win with a bad offensive line.
So Mike, boy, talk about a big night for Mike. His cues are on.
I'm guessing he hasn't watched a second of the Syracuse game.
I flipped, and it's been a commercial both times I flipped from this game.
What's the score?
It was 10-3 Pitt last I checked. But yesterday also I had Yankees, Broncos, and the Devils were all on at the same time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look at your sports
day. Of course
day.
I'm choosing the Yankees in this scenario.
Hey, 10-6 now.
All right, another field goal.
Syracuse, with their offense is rolling.
Okay, that's tonight. Tomorrow, Auburn, Arkansas, do anything for you early on, 9 o'clock?
No, Arkansas is one of the worst Power 5 teams in the country. I don't know what their deal is, but that is an absolute abomination of a team.
Chad Morris?
Yes, Chad Morris.
Clemson at Louisville, ABC, 9 o'clock. Louisville's actually pretty good. They're 4-2. They don't have very good defense, so this could be an exciting game. You know, Clemson has won 21 straight games.
Yeah, but this is weird because we all know Clemson is good and we know they're talented as anyone in the country. But of the top seven teams, it's weird to say that the defending champs with Lawrence, who everyone thought was the next Andrew Luck, I don't think anyone has any sort of belief in Clemson. I think everyone's just waiting around to wait for them to get upset.
Why is that? Is that because...
I think, one, people are tired of seeing Clemson in Alabama. And again, they just don't have that look. And I think people want some fresh blood in there, and they feel of the big boys, that's the one that's most likely to lose. And they don't play anyone. That's the thing, is that if this Clemson team played in one of the other conferences, I think everyone assumes that they would have a loss or two. But because they play in the weak-ass ACC, which is garbage, everyone thinks that they're just going to roll their way in, and people have a problem with that.
But that's always been the case, and they've been good enough to win two championships here in the last handful of years, 3 years, whatever. So, I don't know. I wouldn't count them out. One other thing about them... Dabo, their coach.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, he's taking a lot of heat this week because he flew off the handle at his kicker last weekend.
Yeah, he missed a kick and he freaked out on him.
Yeah, and they caught it on the cameras and stuff. And so some people were asking him, hey, do you need to switch up your tactics and this and that? You know, the whole thing. And in the ultimate eye roll answer, he says he never degrades his players. He just coaches them hard.
Of course. Like, he's a good coach, but I think he's absolutely full of it. I can't stand that guy.
Georgia Tech, Miami, 9 o'clock, nope. ACC Network.
Nope. Allergic to Miami football.
Okay. Oof. West Virginia, Oklahoma. Oklahoma plays on Fox at 9.
Oklahoma's always fun to watch. If you like offensive football, that's football porn, watching what Lincoln Riley and his staff do.
Oregon State at Cal. It is 11:30, Pac-12 Network.
Yes, maybe one of those. I know you got embarrassed against Utah, but...
What do you think about this game?
I think Oregon State's bad. I think we were over our skis, and we're trying to advance it, but Cal hasn't scored 30 points all year. And Cal's defense is good. I don't think it's Utah's good. So, you might be able to stick around in this one. I think the spread is, 13 points in this one. I don't think Oregon State's going on the road and beating Cal. But I think you can keep it competitive.
LSU at Mississippi State, 12:30 on CBS. Mississippi State 3-3, but it could be a tough game for LSU. You know that Joe Moorhead is the Mississippi State coach.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying that he's the front runner for the Rutgers job, which is really weird.
Why would he want the Rutgers job?
I don't know. The only thing that I read that they quoted was him saying, man, you get in the SEC, you get humbled real quick. In other words, he may want to go to an easier job.
Well, look, at Dan Mullen's a damn good coach, and he had some success at Mississippi State, but you will not win consistently at Mississippi State. You can't. You play on that side of the SEC, and you're never going to out-recruit the big boys. It's just an arms race, and you got half an arm.
So Oregon-Washington gets the 12:30 slot on ABC. That's the game. That's going to be what most of the country sees.
And hopefully Oregon has a good showing, because I think for a lot of people, the only time you've seen Oregon this year was the Auburn game. And I don't think they looked bad, far from it. But obviously you had the second half that didn't go your way. And so I think this is a chance for Oregon to not only win the North, but move into the top 10 and I think change some of the national perception. I think not only a win here, but a solid looking win. I think would go a long way to putting Oregon back in the conversation for the college football playoff.
Yeah, it's a big game for Justin Herbert to kind of shut some people up who want to see more out of him. Yeah. It's just this is one of those games where, man, I don't know, you just Oregon's got to win this. But Washington, fun fact, they've had three or more takeaways in four of their last five games. So they're creating a lot of turnovers, and that's something you, of course, can't predict, but that could be the difference in the game.
I just feel like Oregon almost at every turn on the field is better than Washington, but there's just Oregon on the road under Crystal Ball and playing in front of Husky Stadium, a wounded animal.
You know, it's rivalry game. You never know,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, it could be.
The Pac-12
could
is
be
so
a funky
crazy
thing.
So we'll get more on that with Joey Harrington coming up next. Arizona State at Utah will be 3 o'clock on Pac-12 Network. Tyler Huntley, fifth nationally in pass efficiency and third in completion percentage. Who would have guessed that?
Yeah, all of a sudden they found the ability to throw the ball downfield, although Zach Moss is a little nicked up. This is for the South. I think the winner of this wins the South, and I think Utah greater than Arizona State, but Arizona State, every game they play is within a score. It's just what Herm Edwards does, and that guy has been proving idiots like me wrong for the last year and a half. But I think the rubber meets the road here, and I think Utah distances themselves from the rest of the South here.
Arizona State has a pretty exciting little quarterback. He's a freshman. His name is Jaden Daniels.
Finally starting to throw the ball a little bit. I've seen them play a handful of times. Washington State was the first time that he actually impressed me throwing the football and not just making plays with his legs.
He is third in the Pac-12 in passing yards behind Gordon from Washington State, and then Eason is number two from Washington. He's had three 300-yard games in six games. So this is going to be a fun game. I look forward to that.
Yep.
Another fun stat, Arizona State, 18 of 24 on fourth down under Herm Edwards in 19 games.
Yikes.
That's pretty good.
Going for it a lot on fourth.
And what else we have? Baylor at Oklahoma State. That game will be at 1 o'clock on Fox. Baylor is undefeated.
And by the way, Colin, they pulled one out last week. I think it was against Texas Tech.
Yeah.
They had a last minute. By the way, Colin of the Action Network really liked Oklahoma State in this spot.
Washington State's playing Colorado this week. Maybe a get-right game for the Cougs. They're at home. It's on ESPNU at 4.
They got to figure out a way to play some defense. The offense has been just fine, minus the Utah game.
We've got Florida. Did I miss the Florida game?
Yeah, you got Florida, South Carolina. That's what? Way early.
Oh, it's early. I did miss it. What time's that game on?
I think that's a 9 a.m.
Oh, all right. Florida, South Carolina. The Cox have never won back-to-back games against top 10 opponents, but they could change that because they beat Georgia last week, and then Florida's ranked number 9 this week.
Spread's only 5.5, and Florida's been through a real tough gauntlet.
And the Gators, they have 26 sacks and 12 interceptions in six games.
Yeah, their defensive front is ridiculous.
And then for the evening slate, you're going to get
Penn State, Michigan is the big one, and that's going to be the 4:30 game on ABC. That's 7 versus 16.
And then you also have Tennessee, Alabama, but a lot of shines off that because the balls suck. That's at 5 on ESPN. And then you have Arizona, USC tonight, or tomorrow night, Pac-12 Network at 6:30. I don't know what you think about that, but
I don't know. I mean, I feel like USC is just kind of treading water until they fire Clay Helton, and I thought Arizona was fool's gold, and that second half against Utah, to me, validated that.
And then you have Boise State, BYU, and we looked into the quarterback at BYU. He is black.
Yes.
Jalen Hall.
Last week because...
Or Jaren Hall.
Yeah.
Jalen Hall? Jim Hall.
No, I think it's Jaren.
Jaren Hall.
Not Jarrettall. The regular guy hurt his thumb. And
the
so
bro.
Last week against South Florida, which they lost, BYU has kind of fallen off the map. I think they've lost 3 or 4 in a row. He was it's the first time in program history they started an African-American quarterback.
How about that? And that game, BYU or Boise State's undefeated.
Yes.
That game will be on at 7:15 on ESPN2, a little late football. All right, Joey Harrington in studio next. Let's break down Oregon-Washington from the quarterback point of view. We'll do that after Mike in SportsCenter.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Suk.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, Joey Harrington in studio every Friday at 5:30. Former Oregon quarterback, former NFL quarterback, handsome man, and a rivalry game that, well, you didn't play much in. I remember hot, fun Joey Harrington. In fact, I remember you told us, I think you never played at Husky Stadium and only played
Bingo.
Against them once.
Wow, he actually listens.
How have I played at Husky Stadium more than you?
Well, I held one game at Husky Stadium.
Oh.
You know, yeah. But that didn't really count.
Yeah, mine was, I did, I had one where I was on PAT in, in kickoff return. Mm-hmm. I had one of those too. It was like a whopping six plays.
I think I held for three field goals and a PAT or something.
Yeah.
That was my sophomore year.
And you play them once at Autzen?
Once at Autzen. That was, they were number six in the country with Neuheisel and Tui. And they came in and we beat them at Autzen. And then the next year was when they fell off. Like, they had that scheduling where you always lost one of the teams when it was just the Pac-10. And the scheduling, you played three non-league and eight conference opponents.
And you missed them.
And we missed them that year. And there was such a big stink that they rearranged the schedule to get Washington back on. And I think that's why Oregon went to Washington State for what seemed like the better part of the next decade. Mm. Like every year, it's like, oh, we play the Cougars in Pullman again. And that's because I think they switched. I could be wrong. I don't know.
Did it mean, obviously now this has become a big deal. I make the argument that for both schools, I think this is their biggest rival. I think this is bigger than the Apple Cup, and I think it's bigger than the Civil War to a lot of people. Did it have the same connotation when you played, or was it not quite there yet?
See, this is a really interesting rivalry because at no point during, let's call it 25, 30 years, has it been an evenly matched series.
It's like a seesaw. It's always tilted.
So for 40 years, 20 years previous to the pick and the 20 years subsequent, the 20 years previously, I think Washington was 17-3 against Oregon. The 20 years after, I think Oregon was 16-4. And so there's never been that back and forth where one wins one, then the next year you get them back. There's always like, and it's almost like a, I don't think an animosity, but there's a, one team never seems to acknowledge the other because they've been beating them for so long. Now I think we're finally at a point where both programs, in respect to where they had been, you know, at the top of college football, they've both taken a little step back. And they're both great programs, and they both have very good teams, a little bit different year to year. But I think we're finally at the point where we're going to have a true rivalry. And I actually think it'll, I don't want to say out, but bring to the forefront some of those feelings that have been pushed down. If you win 7 years in a row, it's like, all right, well, yeah, we hate Washington, but we beat them every time in the last decade. So, but that's not how it is anymore.
See, I kind of feel that way about the Apple Cup and the Civil War, right? It's like,
right.
You know, for the, obviously there's been some moments for both Washington State and for Oregon State, but I think that's maybe why the animosity to me always was more for Oregon and Washington between the two, because it felt like those were kind of it was a bigger deal. I feel like for Oregon and for Washington fan, they almost view the other as a little brother, whereas Washington, Oregon, it's you want to get where they're at.
Well, yeah, for so long, we wanted what Washington had.
Yeah.
And then once, and it's really, I don't want to say it's the pick, but that's, and it's funny hearing Bilotti talk about it. He said that's not the biggest play even in that game. But that was kind of the turning point where for those programs, right? And so we always wanted what they had. And then for the next few years when we kept beating them, they wouldn't acknowledge it. Like they wouldn't, until the point where it got to where we were actually and truly head and shoulders better than them. And then it was like, God, you know, then there was that, like they wouldn't acknowledge it as a rivalry until we were truly at that point. Yeah. And then at that point, we were significantly better than them. So we didn't look at them as a, you know, oh, the 0-12 Tyrone Willingham. No, who cares about them? You know, so it's a really interesting, and both programs have hit that. Obviously, Washington has a national championship, but Oregon was in the national championship game a couple of times, and they've been to the top or near the top, which, you know, I think makes it a little bit more something.
Yeah, it's meaty. Well, we took for granted those years when Oregon was battling Oregon State for the right to go to a Rose Bowl, mm-hmm. which I think might have been 2 years in a row.
Those were fun years.
That was a blast.
Where if Oregon State had beat Oregon, they would have gone. Yeah. It was like, was it 08, 09, or 06, 07? Somewhere in there. Those were some fantastic Civil Wars.
Yeah,
and it's interesting, too. I don't want to cut you off, but that's why I kind of like, I don't disagree with your point, but for a decade with Oregon State, it was back and forth.
Yeah.
It was in every other year, and the home team always won. And that created some sort of there was drama there.
When one team was perceived, and was perceived to be that much better. I remember one year where Oregon really wasn't playing for much of anything. It was in Corvallis. And I remember Jeremiah Johnson going in there and running for like 200 plus yards. And it was supposed to be a coronation, right? All the Beaver fans brought roses to the game.
Exactly.
And Oregon was a 3 or 4 loss team, didn't have anything to play for necessarily. Oregon State, all they needed to do was beat
Oregon and they go to the Rose Bowl.
And Jeremiah Johnson just ran wild. And I just remember after the game walking around and seeing all the roses kind of laying down and just thinking to myself, wow, like that, there was even some... there was some drama, even when it wasn't supposed to be a good game, you still kind of got one of those.
And that's what you haven't had in this Oregon-Washington rivalry, yeah. Right? That's why I think that there is hatred back and forth, or I don't like using the word hate. There is...
It's a resentment from both sides.
Yes.
Because I think Oregon resented Washington because they always thought that Washington fan, thought their S didn't stink.
Yes.
And then when Oregon got there, Washington was like, oh, you're new money. It's a Mercedes with a Six Flag bumper sticker on it and Uncle Phil and how dare you have that sort of thing. And so it was like this weird fight between the two fan bases.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
I hate to say this, though. Don't you think Husky fans have been a little humbled with the down years?
Yeah.
They went over.
Yeah.
And
So now they're a little less cocky than they were.
Oregon fan probably been humbled a little bit, too.
I would agree. Yeah.
So not to belabor the point, but what does Bilotti think is the biggest play of that game?
It was... Oh boy, he said it. I think it was the drive leading up to that pick, like where Danny O'Neill had. There were some third and longs. I mean, it was. He won't put it on that one play.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, good, because all we ever hear is about Kenny Whedon.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Kenny Whedon. Great play, but yeah, there's been more.
There's one or two. The program has
evolved.
You had
a couple good years.
I held like crazy. I was
big
an amazing.
Wins.
No, I had one. I had one big win. And
I'm saying in your career. It seems like the Kenny Whedon thing is all they ever promote. It's
the
like
program has evolved since then, and there's other marquee moments.
Well, Chip was pretty good.
Yeah, true.
You know.
Yeah, but not against Washington.
So Joey Harrington in studio, courtesy of BMW of Portland, every Friday, 5:30. What do you expect to see? I think everybody thinks it's going to be a pretty low-scoring defensive struggle, which probably means it'll be 45-40, right?
it's interesting because coming into the season, it was Easton and it was Herbert. Mm. Like that, I mean, the way Washington started offensively, oh my God. I mean, yeah. I thought they were going to be in the playoff discussion. And then the way that Oregon has shifted and become truly a defensive powerhouse, I don't want to say I don't know what to expect, because I don't know. Colorado is good, right? Colorado is good offensively.
Yeah.
They weren't great offensively.
They're a good team. Yeah.
They're good offensively.
Yeah. I mean, they're putting up 30 a game.
Sure.
I mean, that's the biggest offensive test you've had since Auburn.
Yeah.
And you got 100%. I mean, you aced it.
Yeah, true. I don't know why I want to see it again, right?
Yeah.
Like these next two weeks, like I want to see it two more times.
Yeah.
Then I can be a believer. Then I can say that Oregon is definitively going to go on the road and put a stop to an offense that I saw put up a lot of points at the beginning of the season. Yep. There's still that, and maybe it's just from a decade of offensive dominance and defensive just, hold on and don't break, that we're not conditioned to say, or to have the confidence that our defense is the foundation of this team. But look, I had this conversation with somebody last week. We are so conditioned to think offense, 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 offense. What? Justin Herbert hasn't, thrown 26 touchdowns yet? Oh, he stinks. Oh, by the way, what is it? 15 touchdowns and one pick? And you do that with a defense that's giving up less than 10 points a game. That is what everybody has been clamoring for the last 10 years, right? Because we've under Chip, we would blow through the conference and we'd play two games a year, once against Stanford and once against a bowl, in a bowl game where people would push us around. Now we have a team that people don't push around. and we have a quarterback who knows how to take care of things and explode when he needs to, like he did last week. So what do I expect? I do expect a defensive game, but I think that Justin is well positioned to make it not just a 10-7 game, right? But a 24-7 game. You know, doesn't need to go off and explode, but do enough to show people that he's still in control.
From the quarterback perspective, let's talk more about Justin Herbert and Jacob Eason, but we'll do it when we get back. Joey Harrington in studio on 1080 The Fan.
It's when the relationship begins. BMW Portland, Portland's only BMW dealership where relationships matter. Exceptional offers through BMW Financial Services. Visit BMW Portland on Southwest Jefferson downtown or at bmwportland.com.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, we're back with more with Joey Harrington. It is Husky Week. You mentioned Justin Herbert has the ability to stretch a 10-7 game to a 24-7 game. Do you think against Oregon's defense, Jacob Eason has the ability to stretch a 10-7 game to a 24-7 game?
3 weeks ago he did. I don't know if he does now, right? I mean, and that's the point that's giving me the most hesitation, right?
Is him?
Well, it's just that Washington is a bit of an enigma to me right now, right? They've been defensively fantastic. Kwiatkowski has been incredible up there for a long time.
Yeah, and then they have Jimmy Lake comes in. Yeah. You got to him now.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, they're very good. But and to see Eason come in and explode the way he did, like I said, you thought this was going to be a top 10, top 5 type of team. And then they've just fallen off. Like, they've just imploded. And they lost games where you look at it and say, what the hell are you doing? And so it's one of those things where you look at it and say, I've seen what I think he can do, but I've also seen him completely not do that for the better part of a month now. So I don't know what to think. The problem is the moment you go into it thinking this guy stinks and, you know, he's fallen off the wagon is the moment that a guy like that, you know, goes out and he puts up 350 on you.
Yeah, I look at it, and to me, the only place where I would say Oregon right now is inferior to Washington, you kicking game, which scares
what?
You in a close game.
No, I would.
And then, you know, people always said the coaching factor. But, you know, with the way Washington's played and you know, the defense has looked spotty at times in big moments. You know, Cal and Stanford both pushed him around. The offense has been absolutely Jekyll and Hyde, including against Arizona. I mean, they had the big performance in the second half, but they didn't look good at all in the first half. And so when I look at it from a position group, that's the only thing. And then being in Husky Stadium, that's the only thing that scares me for Oregon. But if you're going to do a tail of the tape boxing wise, Oregon has an advantage in just about every area here. And that's kind of strange. I know we're, you know, I think it's going to be a close game too, but you know, I'm not being a homer at all when I say I think Oregon is just the better team across the board.
I would agree with that. I think that they have played that way over the last month, you know, especially, but my only hesitation is that I don't want to take Washington out of that conversation because I think they could potentially still be that team later on in the season.
Let me ask you this from having played the position, because I feel like both teams need to run the ball to help their quarterbacks, right? Like if Jacob Eason, if you're saying...
I might disagree with that.
Okay. I think especially Washington is going to have to run the ball for Jacob Eason to keep Oregon's defense honest. Oregon's defense is that good.
Yeah. Yes.
From a quarterback perspective, what is that like? Like, how hard is that to know that your team is just not running the ball very well? Can you still get it done? Are there things on the outside you can do? How does that affect Jacob Eason and Justin Herbert's play?
Well, for Jacob Eason, I almost think it might, you know, if... I'm
you
trying
might
to
air
think.
It out first.
Well, I'm thinking it might as I'm thinking about this, maybe that's what's happened over the last couple of weeks, is maybe he's tried to put too much on him after, you know, after having an incredible start to the season. Maybe he tried to do too much. And I've been in that situation where you say it's all on me, it's got to be on me, and then you implode. I don't think that Justin Herbert needs Oregon to run the football. I think we saw it last week. I think we saw what we talked about it at Auburn, where we just wanted to see, just let him loose, right? You can still be a tough, hard-nosed team without being stubborn running the football.
Thank you.
You got the bet, yeah, right? You can be tough and hard-nosed up front on the offensive line. You can be tough and hard-nosed on defense. The reality is we don't have superstars in the backfield.
No, and running into eight-man fronts on right. a consistent basis, to me, just that if I had one major criticism of Oregon's offense, it's that. It's right. the stubbornness of running into obvious run situations and run looks.
Right. So what they do last week against Colorado, they let Justin Herbert go.
Yeah.
And you saw what he could do. Now, Colorado's wasn't a great defense. Washington's going to be better. But I think that that is the type of game that is going to win for Oregon.
Okay, so you trust him to, you know, on the outside, I guess from your perspective, it doesn't matter how they're running the football. Justin Herbert's good enough to get it done, even though the DBs are much better this week than they were last week.
I do. I think there's a reason that Justin Herbert has been thought of as the number one pick in the NFL draft yeah. for the better part of the last year, because he can make it. It doesn't matter who the DBs on the other side of the ball aren't all going to be number one picks, right? They aren't all going to be first round draft picks. Justin can make those throws. Now, I know the wide receivers are not the most talented bunch, but when you have a quarterback who knows what to do and doesn't turn the football over, and has a defense that has been as incredible as Oregon's has, he can take advantage of those opportunities when they arise. He knows he doesn't have to force it. He is playing, for Oregon's style, he's playing perfect football. He really is. This is the style of team that Coach Cristobal is wanting to create. He said that. He's trying to create a hard-nosed, tough up front, defensive-minded, you know, group. It just happens to be that he has one of the smartest quarterbacks in the country under center.
Exactly. And that's why I've said you don't need to throw it 35 times, but I would like to see a couple opportunities, because Washington's going to give them to you. Washington's going to put 7-8 guys in the line of scrimmage.
Yep.
They're going to play man on the outside. I don't think Washington's scared at all of any of Oregon's receivers. So to me, there's opportunities there. And even if they're incomplete, for the love of God, take a couple shots downfield and at least make Washington think about playing two high safeties. Just put the thought in Jimmy Lake's head that you might want to take one of those young freshman safeties and move him 7 yards off the ball. That's all I'm asking. And then on the other side of things, to me, if you want to look at it, where Washington to me has been dreadful, and I think it's cost them both the Stanford and the Cal game, is on third down. They are horrific. Even against Arizona, I think they were 3 of 13 on third down. So if they can't get into third and manageable situations against Oregon.
Against Oregon's defense?
You are cooked, because they have been bad all year long on third down. And if you get in 3rd and 6+ against this defense, have fun.
Hey, I have a stat for you.
Okay.
Third down. Yeah. I was looking at that today. Yeah, the last 3 games, Washington was 22% on third down. Do you know where Oregon ranks in terms of third down opponents' conversions?
I'm guessing pretty high.
92nd.
Really?
Yes. Opponents are getting 6 third down conversions per game, which ranks them 92nd.
Wow.
Interesting.
Wouldn't have guessed that.
No, but I think that, to me, as I've watched Washington this year, and drops too, they've almost got a little bit of Oregon last year. They, against Stanford and Cal, I think there were 6 drops a piece in those games. And those are, when you don't have a great offense. Hence, you mean talk about this. How frustrating is that when you're trying to build a rhythm, you find a guy open on 3rd and 7, you hit him in the hands, and he drops the stinking ball?
Well, the thing is, it's not just that one drop, right? It's the subsequent opportunities that would come from catching that ball on third down and moving the chains, and now you have X more opportunities, which give you points, which, you know, you win games with points.
Well, look, this feels like an Auburn mulligan, right? Like you were saying after the Auburn game, and Suk was saying the same thing. Everybody was. Air it out. You know, that's how you win that game. Well, here's your chance.
And it's not necessarily
to not make
air
that mistake.
It's not air it out. You don't have to throw the ball 40
times
multi-dimensional.
Right.
Right. Give the ball to your best player.
Yes.
Your best player is Justin Herbert.
Yeah. And this is your opportunity to do that.
Justin will go,
make the same mistake again.
Justin will go 26 for 34. Right? for
780.
What's that?
780.
For 780 yards? Yeah. For 73,000, for 276 and a couple touches.
All right, last question. Mariota, benched.
Yep.
You think we'll see him again?
Yeah.
In Tennessee?
No. No, you won't. I mean,
he's out of there.
I think he needs to get out of there. I think that for himself, he needs to get out of there. We talk about it all the time. It is a confidence factor. It is a timing factor. There's nothing wrong with his skill set. He has the same talent he did 5 years ago, right? It is just getting away from that constant scrutiny and that constant self-doubt. And honestly, he may be able to go somewhere else and just pick up and go. It may take him a while, like it did for me. You know, I left Detroit and went to Miami. Ended up starting for him, but I wasn't ready mentally. It took me all the way till probably the end of Atlanta, my next, 2 to 3 years later, till I was ready. And by that time, you know what? The ship had sailed. So do I think we'll see him again? Absolutely, I do. He's too talented not to, but...
it's an uphill battle.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
It's always great to see you.
I know. I mean, thank you. Sorry.
And we'll talk to you next week. Should be fun. We'll have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, we will.
Joey Harrington's appearance is here on the show, courtesy of BMW of Portland. We will be back with the club on The Fan.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.